So when Ganon gets strong, he turns into a big pig man.
And he loses the dwarf.
And he loses the dwarf. Thank you, Russ. That's another great point, is that when Ganon gets strong, he turns into a pig man. He turns into just Ganon, no dwarf.
Yep.
Is dwarf his last name? And is Ganon some sort of cool street nickname? Mm. And also, most importantly, why does he turn into a pigman? I hope if I ever drink a Triforce potion or whatever to get super powerful, I don't grow pig-like features. That's a glow down, in my opinion.
I mean, why are you yucking his yum?
He's an evil man, Russ. I think I'm allowed to yuck his proclivities.
I mean, it's a little bit kink-shaming to say, like, pig people aren't people.
I think that that's a narrow enough audience that we've actually found the one acceptable thing to shame a kink of.
Ganon is a nickname.
Right.
Ganondorf is his name.
Right.
I love the idea that Link was calling him Ganon, and he's like, excuse me? Excuse me, are we friends? That's like calling him Lil Ricky. Like, right. you don't, my name's Ganondorf. I'm the fucking king of thieves, the emperor of the dark realm. I'm Ganondorf.
Do you think it was like a SAG thing where there was already a Ganondorf?
Like how Michael J. Fox was actually, his name's actually Michael Douglas, but he's like, I can't do that. So,
I read this in the big Green Zelda book that they sent out the other day. Ganondorf's actual name is Michael Douglas.
Oh, okay.
And not a lot of people know that either.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best Zelda game of the times. All.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I don't know the best Zelda game, but that's what we're here to discuss.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I'm here to wreck Ocarina of Time.
Yeah,
name is Russ Frush again.
Oh.
That was the noise I make every time I open up Skype and I see Russ there because he's such a treasure.
Yay.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It's a game of the year show that goes all year long, and it is a video game club. It's a video game club.
It's like a book club. It's like a book club for video people.
No, don't say that. Don't say that. It's a video game club, Griffin.
Okay.
What do you say it's like, Griffin? If you could compare it.
I mean, it's kind of like a book club, but for video. But we do
people
video
understand games. The idea of what a club is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
It's just when you say video game club, it makes it sound like we meet up after school at the Burger King, and we exchange cheat codes for Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
That's what makes it so funny?
I'm recording this from the ball pit at this moment.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
When you were a kid, did you want to be friends with that Burger King guy who had like a red backwards cap? And then the shades that you couldn't see his eyeballs. They're kind of like Cyclops' shades.
I think it was probably Kid Vid.
Yeah,
I'd fucking hang. I'd get a good hang on Kid. I'd fuck around with any of the BK Kids Club. They all seem like a good hang. Mm-hmm. But we're not here to discuss the BK Kids Club. We're here to arbitrarily pit these Zelda games against one another.
Yeah.
The number of people who came in support of Chris Plant after his bad opinions in the last episode, saying that Ocarina of Time was the win back of Zelda, made me really shook my faith. I didn't think my faith in humanity could be shooken any more than it already has been over the last year. But damn, if they didn't just grab the faith with both hands and just start rattling it violently.
I mean, it would be really hard to find out you're wrong like that, you know?
Yeah.
Should I do a quick sprint through the current matchups?
That's probably the only sane thing to do.
Okay,
yes.
So we've got Majora's Mask going up against Ocarina of Time. We've got...
Also, a lot of people let me know that it's not just Mario the word Russ says wrong. He also says Ocarina?
Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time.
Ock.
Who's to say?
Does Link like Ocarina. Octoroks? Octoroks? No,
Justin, you stepped all over Chris's really great Macarena joke, and I want to make sure that it has...
Let's get it clean. Let's get it clean.
Hey.
Hold on, Chris, let me get it clean.
Hey.
Okay, and I'll catch you in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Ocarina.
All right.
Okay, so Majora's Mask versus Ocarina of Time, The Minish Cap versus Link's Awakening plus remakes, A Link to the Past versus Wind Waker, and Breath of the Wild versus The Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Holy shit.
Yeah, I didn't put this together until I heard Russ say it in the way that he says words funny sometimes. Is the Minish Cap supposed to be like diminish cap? Like it makes you smaller? Because
did I say that word wrong too?
You kind of hit it like diminish cap.
No, which like, it sounded that way to me too, but okay, I don't think it was, cool. I think it's an intentional play
too.
On words, little
that's fun
little pun.
Didn't put some that together.
Actually, it turns out minish is actually just a word, and it means to make less, make fewer, and make smaller.
Oh, sorry,
it's archaic, though, right. So totally understandable.
No, but thank you for, and once it's just, it's like, sometimes we start to have fun, and then you come in here with books and lessons, and then it's...
I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell you the word.
I wanted to know.
No, I appreciate it.
If this is an Ashton thing where you guys are finally going to reveal to me when we're done recording that the Minish Cap is one you made up, please tell me now so we don't waste a bunch of time talking about it.
Let's get into it. Let's do the damn thing.
Okay, Majora's Mask versus Ocarina of Time. And sorry, I'm just not going to say it right.
We're not. Hey, don't go changing trying to please me.
Yeah,
I'm not
going. Be yourself. We love you.
We love you just the way you are.
Yeah.
This is such a weird mash, a weird pairing, because it's like, I don't know who doesn't like Ocarina of Time that does like Majora's
Mask.
Well,
we discussed this last time where Chris, and I kind of sort of disagree, I sort of agree with Chris's complaints that he hinted at last time, and I'm going to try to go into them, but maybe Chris can back me up a little bit. I think Ocarina of Time is a extremely revolutionary, impactful game that has defined not only Zelda games that have come after it, but also like how
3D
a 3D action adventure game can even happen. The idea of like lock on targeting, the idea of like, not a lot of games do this, but that like run and jump, like the auto jump thing was like totally revolutionary and really remarkable. It's a remarkable game, but I would say if you go and play it now, the first like 5 hours are pretty slow. They just are. There's just like a lot of like you're running through the forest and you're doing little tasks in the town. And the Deco Tree, in my opinion, is in a super fun dungeon. And I don't love the beginning. I think it gets a lot more interesting once you get more tools. But I don't love the beginning. So that is sort of my big critique on Ocarina.
Also, at least one of our listeners kindly pointed out that some of the great additions to 3D video games appeared first in Mega Man Legends a whole year before Ocarina of Time. I'm just saying that maybe Mega Man Legends is the win back of 3D games.
Have you played Mega Man? Okay, but the complaints you leverage at Ocarina of Time, I would leverage at Mega Man Legends.
Without a doubt.
I recently went back to try to play that game, and shit, it's a rough time.
It's not a real defense. I just want to build off Rush's thing really quick, because I actually think Ocarina is definitely going to win this. But I think Majora's Mask is a more interesting and better and more polished version of the things Ocarina of Time set out to do.
Yeah.
And I think in the same way that I would never say Call of Duty 1 is the best Call of Duty game, I would not say Ocarina of Time is the best game. I prefer the polished version. I don't think the historical stuff is enough to make it warrant being exceptional in this case. But that said, I think like fighting against Ocarina of Time is like fighting against the ocean. it's not going to go well.
I would agree, but I agree with you. I mean, inherently, right? Majora's Mask is a sequel to Ocarina of Time. So there's a lot of stuff there that got polished up. I think that the way that Majora's Mask breaks out of the loop in the same way that Link Between Worlds does of go into dungeon, get new item, use item to solve the thing, while Majora's Mask is much more like follow this storyline to find this mask that like supplements this like, you know, typical staple Zelda mechanic. Like that shit's really interesting. I don't know about you guys, I have been going back and replaying Zelda games. I'm almost done with Link Between Worlds because that was the one that sort of lulled me in with its siren song. I would rather go back and play Majora's Mask, the 3DS version, than Ocarina of Time again. But I can't discount the history of like what that game meant to me. I can't think of too many moments that were more mind-boggling in my youth than when you pull out the Master Sword and then become the older, cooler Link with cooler tools, and then all of a sudden you have like a billion new things to do all at once. I think that that is one of the best reveals in video games, and like for me, like that's tough to beat.
Justin, what do you think?
You know, it's hard. You got to appreciate what Ocarina of Time stands for. I mean, certainly. I have a personal bias against Majora's Mask that makes it something that I just don't enjoy as much. I find it more stressful, and it is a polish. It is a polish. But I would also, I would argue in counter to that, that the games that came after Ocarina of Time, the Zelda games, were similarly an evolution of Ocarina of Time in a lot of ways. And like, they don't necessarily get the credit for, like, we can't just say like, well, it's just like Ocarina of Time, but later. So it's better because they're just doing the same stuff. So I'm not sure that that argument holds a lot of water with me vis-a-vis Majora's Mask. And I find it scary and I scary find game. It stressful and I don't like it. And I want the Ocarina of Time to win. It's a slam dunk.
I would say this for Majora's Mask. I'm not going to fight tooth and nail over this one, but I would say I think one of the things that I really love about Majora's Mask is that there's a lot more off the beaten path, like secret, quote, secret stuff.
Oh, than there
is in Ocarina, to the point where, like, you know, obviously getting like Bigoron's sword in Ocarina of Time is sort of like the one big secret that like is not required for beating the game. Majora's Mask has like shitloads of those, like tons.
A literal a journal, like that's what the, I think it's called the Bomber's Notebook, is like full, like literally full with just that shit.
Yeah, like, and when I think about like the moments in Zelda that I love, it's very rarely the like main critical path stuff. It's almost always the like weird side stuff where you like meet Tingle, or there's like a really good dungeon in Breath of the Wild, or just like the trading quest in Link's Awakening. So that is my, I mean, I would personally vote for, I think, Majora's Mask, but that's just me.
Is this an argument, though? The current world record for beating Majora's Mask looks to be 25:44.
Ooh.
Okay.
World record for beating Ocarina of Time, 7 minutes and 9 seconds. Could you argue that, like, maybe that's a better game? I mean, that's a lot more game
that is
in Majora's Mask.
That's true.
That's like 3 to 4 times as much game.
That's true.
I think just the sort of infinite monkeys theorem, like we have thrown a lot more sweat equity into Ocarina of Time to figure out how to truly fuck up its bits and bites and boops and bobbles.
If you watch, I watched a speed run for Ocarina of Time. It is indiscernible. Like, it is not
easy. You fight Goma, you dump a fish out at this exact frame, and then hop backwards through the door, and then you're in the final cutscene. Yeah, it's wild.
So just to boil this decision down, we are really talking about, I think the majority of us agree that Majora's Mask is the better game, but the question is, how many points do we give Ocarina for being the more, quote, revolutionary and impactful game?
I think I have a pretty easy answer for this, which is, while Majora's Mask is a better game, there are better Zelda games than Majora's Mask. If we're just talking about pure, like, is this just a good, fun, great video game? Cutting all the historical stuff out, right? So, like,
sure.
Does that make sense? On the better game scale, it is not near the top of it. But on the historical setting precedent scale,
importance?
Yeah. Then Ocarina of Time is in, like, the top two.
Sure. Right. I understand what you mean. More
Ocarina of Time.
And we really have to be careful in the standards that we pick at this point, because we're going to get into the last round of this is going to, like, if we want to start talking about the importance of, like,
history,
precedent setting and history, like, Legend of Zelda Classic wins this in a walk.
Damn, you know what, then? That's a good point, Justin. I vote for Majora's Mask. I think it's the cooler game. I think that Zelda gets fucking buck wild after that, and every game, in this one you turn into a wolf, in this one your sword's alive, in this one you can turn into a painting. Like, each Zelda game has had to iterate on top of that in such a wild way, and sometimes it was colossally bad and a tremendous failure, but Majora's Mask, I think the gimmick there kind of kicks ass and is like a huge, huge like stretch for Nintendo.
You could also make a compelling argument in terms of precedent setting to what you just said, Griff, that Majora's Mask was the one that said, hey, we don't necessarily, this formula is not sacrosanct. Like this is a formula. There's in George Clinton, his greatest hit CD, he's got liner notes and he's talking about some of his inspirations. And he says that James Brown made it legal for armpits to stink. And I feel like Majora's Mask made it legal for armpits to stink in the sense of Zelda games. Like, I don't know, the fucking moon's going to crash everything. It's just a thing we're trying. Let's try it.
Fuck yes.
And I think that's a cool legacy.
Bravery.
I'll go Majora's Mask. I can fuck with that.
So it's Majora's Mask.
How wild.
I just want to say that my plan worked perfectly. I'm just planting a little seed, and then I back away.
The camera's pulling out, and we're all connected to string.
I act like I don't want it too much. Plant hands.
I am learning a lot about myself in this series, which is why we do this show. Okay, next, let's try not to take as much time with this round because it's the Minish Cap versus all versions of Link's Awakening.
But this is a good,
and only one's real.
It is a good segue. The Minish Cap versus Link's Awakening, because the Minish Cap is an extremely good Zelda game, as we talked about last week. It is, even though it was made by Capcom, not an internal studio, but it's like a very good, well-designed, very interesting, gorgeous 2D Zelda game.
Yeah.
I do not think that it is as interesting as Link's Awakening, as I wasn't as invested. Link's Awakening, I've replayed this game probably 4 or 5 times over the course of my life, and I very rarely replay games. That shit makes me cry every single time when I beat that game. Every single time. It is such an emotional journey. And it, I think, does a better job of humanizing all of the side characters in this Zelda world better than any other Zelda game maybe ever. Because you have such this intimate connection to each of them. Link to the Past does this as well. We'll talk a little bit about that. But like Link's Awakening, I have such an attachment to that island, the like premise of the story. It's such a journey. Whereas Link's
which is, can you sum up for people that we're trying to like, what's the hook?
The hook of Link's Awakening is that you wake up on an island and you don't remember anything. I mean, do we want to spoil Link's Awakening at this point?
Seems what's like the statute of limitations? Oh, well, you know what? They did just remake it on Switch. So maybe let's not.
I would say, even though it starts as seeming, hey, this is the most generic premise of all time, it is a much more interesting idea in Link's Awakening than you would imagine. And
here's my silly epiphany. Portable Zelda games are by far the best Zelda games. They're obviously the worst stinkers are in that area too. But Minish Cap, Link's Awakening. What's the one that the Link to the Past sequel that we talked about last week? I always forget its name.
Link Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds, and technically Breath of the Wild, if you want to stretch it. But that's a pretty bonkers good set.
If you didn't come up in that game, like early middle Game Boy era, there was a lot of attempts to bring NES experiences to Game Boy with like varying levels of success, right? The Final Fantasy Game Boy games were not great, but they were attempting that scope. Link's Awakening surpassed the original Zelda.
By like a lot.
And was like on par by a lot and was like on par with Link to the Past. And it was on Game Boy, which was a fucking wild accomplishment. Yeah. And it also, I think, sold the Game Boy Color with Link's Awakening DX. Like I had forgotten until you brought that point up, like what a tremendous sort of evolution of what a portable, you know, game could look like and feel like. And Link's Awakening sort of set that bar. I think it's Link's Awakening.
I think so too.
Yeah.
What is the remake, the Zelda remake that just got announced? What are they doing?
Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like Minish Cap is due? Like, let's get the Link's Awakening DX.
They didn't really make
it. Yeah, I don't know if they'll ever do it because it's a Capcom game. You know, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I really hope that some folks listening to this
probably like Virtual Console or something eventually, but
maybe
not as like a full remake.
It's weird that some of these are just kind of like it's one of the biggest franchises ever. It's weird that some of these are just kind of lost in the in the shuffle. Anyway, so we're gonna go with Link's Awakening plus the remix. Listen, next up is a tough one. I don't know how else to say it. A Link to the Past versus Wind Waker.
Okay.
Wow.
This is tougher than I mean, Link to the Past is gonna win, right? But for some reason, I was thinking Skyward Sword. Wind Waker is a really special game.
Yeah. I think, we have weirdly set up two sort of competing metrics now of just like the history like value of these games and also the willingness to say, fuck that history. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get wild on it. And I do not think you get anything more wild than Wind Waker, which was like people were clamoring for grown up Zelda big 3D experience on the GameCube. And Nintendo was like, how about this?
Well, not to mention that, not just the art style, but like, hey, remember Land? Nope.
Yeah. Nope. Not for you.
That's crazy.
I did not like when it was not even a like I had succumbed to the whatever the opposite of hype, the hatred of Wind Waker for its art style and mechanics and stuff. Like when I first played it, I did not care for it, mostly because of sort of the seafaring structure of it. Mm. But when it came out, the remake on Wii U, I think, is what sort of made it click a little bit more for me. But Link to the Past, I mean, holy shit. Justin convinced me to trade in a bunch of Game Boy games at Babbage's so that we as a family could acquire Link to the Past, which I only now sort of recognize as a nefarious plot for Justin to acquire Link to the Past using my incredible cartridges. I mean, no, it was a good trade. You were not wrong.
A good trade?
Yeah. I mean, some of those Game Boy games are probably worth a mint now, but yeah.
Can I play one sound for you guys? I've been replaying Link to the Past because it fucking is still great. Listen, this is the sound that it plays when you go through the mirror into the dark world. Listen to this. Are you kidding me?
It doesn't get any better than it's so
it's
fucking
amazing.
Good. Yeah.
It's amazing. The whole thing sounds amazing. Now, Plant, could you speak on your experience a little bit? Because I know this was a new one to you. What kind of jumped out at you?
I'm very much still working my way through it slowly. So I feel like unprepared for.
Have you gotten through the first dungeon?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Prologue of like getting through that within the rain and going through the castle, was very formative for me. It was like one of the first cinematic video game experiences I remember having.
This is also a thing that I love about it that Breath of the Wild obviously does. So when at the beginning of the game, you have to go save Zelda from the castle, you go through the dungeon, yada yada yada. And one of the things you can do is you can go up these stairwells inside the castle and then exit the castle and then walk around the barrier. Like the gates or the bridge of the castle or whatever. And there's no purpose for that at this point in the game. It's just like an area that you can walk around and go back outside and see the rain and see the world, you know, this castle surrounded by all these evil guards. And that feels so different from what I expect from like most modern, really any Nintendo games where every square inch of the game serves a very specific purpose, which is kind of brilliant from a design perspective, but sometimes prevents them from having very much mood or environment. And so far from this game, I've noticed little bits of that everywhere where I feel like, I mean, like I said last time, it really does feel wildly ahead of its time, how much it feels like an open world game.
Sure.
It's enormous. It's incredible. I am profoundly ashamed that it took me this long to play it, but like I said, I'm also very glad it took me this long because it's wild how well it hits playing it for the first time now.
While you were describing that intro scene, it reminded me that like there's this moment when you go into you're outside, it's raining, you find the secret entrance into the castle. When you go inside, you can still hear the rain, but it's muted. Yeah. And that fucking, like, so cool. I don't know consciously absorbed how cool that was, but it really, way more than like, you know, in the original NES, on the original NES Zelda, like, you'd go into a cave and obviously it was a totally different environment, the music would change, but there was no sense necessarily that it was like all taking place in the same world. But that small detail does so much to like set the world of Link to the Past and how it's all linked together.
Yeah.
It's speaking of like cinematic, like we were still kind of experimenting with like narrative at games at this point. The introduction of Link to the Past is you wake up, your dad's gone or somebody. Your uncle's gone. And he's like, Zelda's calling you with her mind, right? And you go, you lift up a bush, you fall down a hole. Your uncle's there. He's like, hey, I'm dying. Can you take my sword and go get Zelda? He's like, yeah, I guess no problem. literally gets a sword, walks through a door, and murders the first man he sees. Like, he walks through the door, there's a guy in green armor, and Zelda's like, Link's like, actually, fuck you. And he kills him. Like, just kills him.
Yeah.
It's a man. He just kills a man instantly. Yeah.
You don't get that in a lot of new Zelda games, do you? Where he just kills a guy. No, they make you
pick up a fucking Deku stick for 13 hours before they're like, okay, I guess you're ready. You promise not to kill a man, right? Yeah.
Also, and I don't know if it's fair to include this in the calculation, but the randomizer community around Link to the Past is one of the great joys in my life. I got into it and created a randomized version of the game that doesn't have a sword in it, that you die if you get hit one time, and also the character sprite is Guy Fieri. So that's about as good as it gets.
The last thing I want to say about Wind Waker, even though I agree that Link to the Past is going to win this category, in addition to the visuals, which I think are spectacular, and the music also spectacular, it is worth noting that when it first came out, and I think this was addressed in the HD remake, but when it first came out, there was like an end game quest that was kind of grindy and not great.
You
had to get to, you had to like find these things that were scattered all over the place, and it was just like, kind of totally...
It was pieces of the Triforce. Yeah. And it's a real shame because it had a really cool treasure hunting mechanic where you would find maps and then have to like sort of look at islands and landforms to like figure out where it was. And that shit was cool when it was an optional thing that you could do to like get a leg up, and not when it was something you had to do like seven times in a row.
Yeah, that was a bit of a drag. I think they did address it in the HD remake, and if they re-release it again, I'm sure it'll be addressed there.
Yeah.
But kind of a little bit of a
it's,
knock.
Yeah. All right, last round then.
Yeah. God.
Last up, we have Breath of the Wild versus The Legend of Zelda. Couldn't be a less applicable conversation. I mean, it's there's no point to this conversation. It is a silly conversation.
Well, it is an interesting matchup.
They have both have Zelda in the name. Well, they both have Zelda in the name. That's
well, it. I would say it's an interesting matchup because when they were developing Breath of the Wild, they actually made a demo version of the original Legend of Zelda, but with physics and like chemical interactions and shit. And that was the design document they used to eventually make Breath of the Wild, which is really pretty remarkable. I think the games are very similar in structure because of how wide open they are. Obviously, Breath of the Wild really leaned into the like physics and everything like that. But structurally, they're almost identical insofar as you can go to Dungeon 8 the second that you start The Legend of Zelda, which you can't really do in any other Zelda game that I can think of.
Except for Breath of the Wild, where you can literally go right to Ganon. Yeah, it's this is one of those where I wasn't. I don't know if I was. When did the original Legend of Zelda come out?
This is the 35th anniversary, so it'd be 86.
86, yeah. So I wasn't alive when the original Zelda came out, but I feel like for a lot of these games, I have the context of like what it was like to be there when Link to the Past came out and like changed shit. But I mean, Juice, you would have been six. Like, were you?
I have a limited perspective. I mean, I definitely remember seeing it, you know, at a friend's house. I was probably over at Willie's house. He had the NES, and I remember seeing it over there. I don't think I appreciated what a game changer it was at the time, but I certainly sunk more than my fair share of time into it.
Yeah, I mean, there had been open world RPG, you know, adventure and stuff like that. There had been open world RPGs before the original Legend of Zelda. But in the same way that like there had been platformers before Mario, like The Legend of Zelda basically refined the concept and made it like a very polished, full feeling experience. It was also kind of like a roguelite in ways because every time you died, you start from the beginning, but you kept your stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
This is one of my favorite game franchises of all time. I've never finished the original Zelda.
It's very hard.
Really?
It's difficult, not necessarily even from a challenge perspective, but from a like getting around and knowing where you've been and where you still need to go. And like there is everything.
What you do for that actually, Griffin, is get
Nintendo Power.
Nintendo Power map. So it's not even a problem.
Yeah, it's just that everything that the original Zelda tried to do, Crystalis came out in 1990, SNK knocked it out of the fucking park and made it better Zelda than Zelda could even do.
That's a great, actually very valid point, Griffin.
Thanks. Not a lot of people think about Crystalis whenever they're talking about Zelda games.
I think the Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 2 thing is applicable here, where I think Link to the Past sets what a Zelda game is in motion. And the original Legend of Zelda is a rough draft in that capacity. That's not a hell of a rough draft, But
yeah, and Breath of the Wild's maybe the best video game ever made. So it's kind of a tough competition between the, I think it's Breath of the Wild. I recency bias is for sure there, but I don't harbor that much affection for the original Legend of Zelda. Because while I recognize its import in gaming history, it was just a little too early.
Yeah,
for me. A little too rough.
I would agree. It is not the best 2D Zelda game by any stretch.
That's Crystalis. We've covered this.
Yes.
It's extremely important and still has its merits for sure. But also, I don't think you can discount the cultural effect that Breath of the Wild had. It was one of the last, like, and I feel like you get these from time to time still. They used to be very common. I feel like Breath of the Wild bordered on like creating something of a monoculture in gaming for a little bit. Like it was something where like everybody was playing it. In the sense, like you saw it on a, I think a much fast sped up timetable, but maybe broader scale with Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Last year where it's like, this is what everybody's doing Breath of the Wild. And that's cool. And it's still kind of like a touchstone for that. Like, there's people we work with, like our dad and Amanda and people like that, like who are still going through Breath of the Wild, getting all their stuff.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's also, it's amazing,
I'm trying to think of like console launch games that even we're now, what are we, 4 years after the launch of the Switch?
Yeah.
4 years afterwards, it's still the first game that you recommend to anyone to buy if they buy a Switch. Like, yeah. Not even
it's the best launch game of any console that's ever happened. Okay, I think we got it. Breath of the Wild, and we're almost through this thing, and we're about to put this nation of ours back together with our eight hands.
Let's take a quick break. Just breathe for a second because we don't have ads or anything. We can take a quick.
We might.
There might be ads here. Let's take a break. Okay. This is serious now. I'm not kidding around. And these should go quicker. I feel like due to the discussions we've had, we got Link's Awakening plus remakes versus A Link to the Past.
I mean, we can just finish the semifinals, right?
I think the semifinals will be very breezy.
Yeah, A Link to the Past beats Link's Awakening, yeah. And Breath of the Wild beats Majora's Mask. We've talked about these games.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot. I think
we know these games.
In the case of Link to the Past versus Link's Awakening, Link to the Past does everything that Link's Awakening is trying to do, but does it better.
Much better. Yeah,
just does it better.
And also, the strength of that game is evidenced by the fact that Link Between Worlds is essentially takes place in the exact same land and still manages to be a fucking great game. Like there is something very timeless about the core of Link to the Past.
Yeah.
And then
Breath of the Wild, a better game.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild, Majora's Mask. Both of them are the what's special about them is they're doing something different.
And very different.
Majora's Mask is like,
it's not even remotely similar to what the previous game was.
Yeah, as good as Majora's Mask is at doing something different, Breath of the Wild is like, I mean,
this conversation, the finals then is Link to the Past versus Breath of the Wild, which is always what it was going to be. And I feel like that, right. I don't know if that's something that you all felt in your bones before we got started here, but I feel like this is always going to be the
it
final
It was possible, down. There was a moment it was possible, I wouldn't have voted for this, but the Ocarina versus Breath of the Wild matchup could have happened in some alternate reality. But I'm happy with where we landed. It's
one without me on it.
I mean, it's pretty simple, right? We're looking at the best 2D Zelda game versus the best 3D Zelda game. That's it.
Yeah.
I think it's the most fun Zelda game versus the most interesting Zelda game.
What?
I don't know which one's which.
I don't even know.
Link to the Past is fun. Breath of the Wild has breakable gear.
Okay.
That's you're out. No, of your
this is the time to bring it up. This is the time to plant.
No. Listen, guys, I don't want to shut Plant down here, but he's completely right and doesn't need to waste any more of his precious time.
Thank you.
No. Drop some knowledge.
Obviously, here is what I would say. I am going back and playing Link to the Past. It has been what? Somebody give me a number. How many years? It
came out
93.
Okay, 25 years. 30. A long time, right? 30 something, a lot of years. It
came out in 91. It's 30 years. Jesus.
30 years old, okay? It whips ass. Like, I play it and still, like, it is absolutely playable, understandable, looks great, sounds great. The puzzles are interesting. The maps are interesting. There's fun, weird stuff happening in the world. The music is absolutely fantastic. It feels good. It still looks great.
Right.
My argument is that if you flash forward 30 years from the release of Breath of the Wild and you look back on it, that you will feel that aging so much more. They're taking big swings. It's big strides forward, but there's a lot of things that are going to feel and look and sound not good in three decades.
Because it's a 3D game, you mean?
Well, because it's a 3D game, but also there's mechanics that are like more interesting than they are enjoyable in Breath of the Wild.
Climbing a wet mountain face. This is like the opposite.
What I'm saying, right? Like, every inch of Link to the Past has been carefully handcrafted to bring you maximum delight and pleasure. Breath of the Wild says, you're going to find some things you won't like, but the good news is there's many other things you can go do, but there's going to be some people that like these and you can absolutely just not mess around with them. I'm not saying that it's not incredible, expansive, incredibly fun. Link to the Past is like as close as we have gotten to perfection. And I thought every time I go back to it, I think maybe it will have aged poorly this time. And I went, nope. Every time it looks, sounds, feels fantastic. That is my pitch for
Plant, do you want to shit on Breath of the Wild a little bit?
No, Justin pretty much stole my thing. I don't think Breath of the Wild is a bad game at all. I think it deserves its spot right here. I think it's like the second best. I think it is more inventive than anything on this list. I just personally found myself not enjoying it for large chunks of the game. There were parts that I thought were like unbelievable. That island where you land on an island and it's effectively the game all encompassed in like one little area. Is still one of my favorite things in any video game. But there were also parts where it wasn't just, oh, the world allowed me to do anything. So naturally there are going to be parts I don't like and, you know, it can't be all perfect. That's part of it too. But there are also parts of just the core game that I ran up against I didn't enjoy. I remember when I got to the lava area. I'm sorry that I don't know the exact name. Yeah. I'm not a real fan. But I remember when I got to that.
Duo Land.
Yeah, sure. And I had saved all of, I can't remember the resource now, but I had saved all of this resource that I wanted to get like some big fancy armor that I was super hyped about. And I worked so hard and I put hours and hours and hours into it. And then I got to that land and it's like, well, you're only going to be able to go through this land if you go and buy this. And I was like, I am not doing that. I have saved for the thing that I want. I have all these like food items that can make it so that I can get through heat. I'll just use that. Like, the game has been malleable up until this point. It'll let me do this the way that I want to do it. And sure enough, it did not. And then I just, stopped playing it for a month because I was so pissed that up until that point, it let me do whatever I want. And here it was being hey, glad you saved for that thing that you were super excited about. Sorry, throw all that away so that you can just complete a core part of the game.
It is kind of interesting that the least enjoyable for me parts of Breath of the Wild are the like questy parts, the like you've been given a side quest so you need to go do a thing, and the most enjoyable parts are when it is completely like freewheeling. I'm gonna crest this hill and oh shit, that looks really interesting, I'm gonna go check that out, and oh, there's a little puzzle with a Korok, and
and there's a big fucking glowing dragon in the sky, I'm gonna shoot at it. Whoa, something just fell off the dragon, where did it go? I'm gonna try. This is the conversation to me, this is the debate. Is Link to the Past is, like Justin said, like incredibly manicured and incredibly sculpted to a T experience, whereas Breath of the Wild is a lot, it has definitely that stuff because it's a Nintendo game, but it is much more like up to you to kind of find the fun, and that is inherent to its like physics-based systems and interaction-based systems. And to me, I agree with everything you said about A Link to the Past, but like that shit is not something that has been in a Zelda game before. And I think the Breath of the Wild does both things really well. I think the manicured experiences, I think the dungeons and boss fights in Breath of the Wild absolutely kick ass. But no other Zelda game even tries to do the other shit that it does of it being... People are still experimenting with ways to get around this world and stunt on them. And it's something that I think is amazing. And when I think about what I want Zelda to be moving forward, what I want video games to be moving forward, it is Breath of the Wild. That game came out in 2017 and accomplished that thing better than any game has yet. And any game has really even attempted to do. So I can't, that's unbeatable in my mind. It is the perfect video game for me right now and what I want all video games to be. So that it wins in my mind.
I agree with that. I think Link to the Past, this is a weird, again, because I'm just making my way through it, but being able to have that hindsight, it literally did that thing. Like, you play Link to the Past now, and it set the template for video games for, what, the last 30 years. Like, you can see so much of open world design and action game design and role play design inside of that. So I do think there's... I just want to give it as much credit here. You know, it can seem very static looking back on it historically because we already know how history played out. But I think at the time, that is
equally ambitious. This is not an easy decision, right? I think Link to the Past, these are the right two final games to be here. I think Link to the Past is a fucking masterpiece. But like... I my relationship with video games is changing. It changed when I had a kid and my time now became like something else, and it's going to change again here in a couple of weeks when I have a second kid. And so my relationship with games is changing, and the amount of time I want to put into games is changing. And Breath of the Wild is the kind of thing that I feel like is worthy of my time. It is the thing that I am most excited to still sort of invest myself in like all of gaming.
Yeah.
So like that's why I think Link to the Past is a masterpiece, but like Breath of the Wild is what I want all of right now.
I want to just talking about Link to the Past real quick. The interesting thing about Link to the Past, even though obviously it builds off of the like baseline of what the NES Zelda game did, it really introduced the concept that, like, again, I talked about this with the rain, but Link is in a world that exists with inhabitants, villagers, towns, like campsites. You know, effectively, the NES world was all monsters with, like, occasionally there'd be a vendor in a cave, but that was it.
Right.
So the idea that you've got this inhabited, breathing world that you're in, and the fact that it gives you as much freedom as you have to explore this world. Obviously, you can't go everywhere, but the barriers are extremely large. And you can flip that world into a totally alternate dimension of a dark world that is just as big.
And see the like Black Mirror version of those characters sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they are. They establish that when you get the Moon Pearl and it's like... This kid can't go into the dark world without turning into a blob or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think the dungeons in Link to the Past are the best dungeons that have ever been in a Zelda game ever. Like every single one stands out to me as like a very memorable, thoughtful like analysis of like the item that you get in that dungeon, and then that item is now useful all over the map.
They're also like this like so concise. Yeah. Yeah. There's like no fat on them. Like just when you think like, huh, I wonder what's around the big key. Oh, cool. I got the big key. Where's the, here it is. Here's the item. Ah, I remember I could go. It's just like you blow through them, but in a way that feels so good. Like where there's not a bunch of like wandering around and wondering what the next thing is.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I feel like we're all, wow. I thought this would be a lot more of a
let's
fight.
Go around let's go around the table and just and vote. I think I know which way this is going to go, but I am team Breath of the Wild on this one.
Well, I'm like, but I'm.
You couldn't remember the name of the game. Your vote is disqualified. Like
we've only talked about one or two or three or 18 Zelda games.
Plan has only played an hour of Link to the Past, but he really liked.
No, my played more than that, but.
He's playing it now. I can't stop.
Even having not finished it, I do think it's Link to the Past. Griffin made a very compelling argument. There is part of me that wants to heel turn. And I will say the dungeons in Breath of the Wild are pretty stellar. I think they do really
pretty radical. I actually, this is one area that I completely disagree on.
Interesting.
Wow.
I like how they play with 3D space quite a bit. That said, I you know what? I will, maybe this is going to be something fresh we'll add. I think they're very smart. I don't know if I find them particularly fun. I find them like, oh, that was very smart. And there is a difference
Laying siege to that huge elephant, like mammoth tank thing, and then climbing around inside of it, and then the dungeon is the big, like, monstrous robot animal that you just had to, like, battle to get in. Like, that shit is awesome.
It's conceptually cool. I think the dungeons rely a lot on, I'm going to pull this switch and then wind is going to show up, or I'm going to pull this switch and things are going to turn. And I do That's not fair. Find those, like, it's just like a lot of trial and error, which I never have found super satisfying. Whereas I think in A Link to the Past, a lot of the things well, not only that, they're logical puzzles. Oh, I have a boomerang. I can now throw this boomerang across this ledge. And I think there is definitely some of that in Breath of the Wild, but I think it is.
But the physics system necessitates a different kind of puzzle, like a physics puzzle. And if that's all that there is, and I get what you're saying, and I agree. Link to the Past has better dungeons, but that's not what appeals to Breath of the Wild to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Did
we get a vote from you, Russ?
Yeah, no, I would vote Link to the Past. I think Breath of the Wild. I agree. Justin made a good point about like going back. I do agree that like if you were to go back to play Breath of the Wild 30 years from now, it would look heinous as shit. But
I don't think that's true either.
It doesn't run great is the problem. Like it just doesn't. And it's like, I think
That game came out 4 years ago and still looks better than most games, including a lot of games that have tried to look like Breath of the Wild. So I think that there's
The Wii 3 will have upscaling. It will help a little bit.
But I think the other reason it'll be interesting is because I 100% agree that Breath of the Wild will define the next God knows how many years, maybe 30 years of how video games are made. I think you're going to see way more of these types of games than you will like hand-holdy Assassin's Creed cutscene after cutscene kind of games.
Yeah.
I would also say,
first off, congratulations to Link to the Past. Secondly, I would make the point that I would assume that our median age of listener is younger than ours, and this decision may be frustrating for you. And please recognize it for what it is, which is the death rattle of four decrepit men clinging desperately to their youth.
Three decrepit men. I'm fresh.
Oh, yeah. Three decrepit men and one beloved millennial.
Right.
One zillennial. Kevin Mack, right.
If you haven't played A Link to the Past, it is available on the Nintendo Switch if you subscribe to Switch Online, so you can just play it right there, right now.
Is this a Nintendo Direct? What happened there at the end? Here's how you find Link to the Past.
I mean, if
just go find it.
Yeah, but where else would you be able to play it if you don't have a Switch?
Blockbuster Video.
Oh yeah,
you go to Blockbuster Video and they have it in the demo kiosk.
I am actually pretty mad at how one thing that has frustrated me going back through the series is how inaccessible a lot of these games are.
Yeah,
games are fucked. Like it should be. You should be able to play. Like the greatest games of all time, like at will. It's wild that they're like locked away for this behind old.
I have one piece of reader mail before we
please
wrap this episode. This is from our dear friend Vibes Corner. When my parents were broke newlyweds in 1998, my mom's only expense was for long distance calls to the Nintendo Power Hotline for help with Zelda 2. She still talks about Dark Link with reverence. My earliest Zelda memory is watching her beat Twilight Princess on GameCube. It's very charming.
That's so good.
What did that cost? Fantastic. Do we know how much that cost?
It was not cheap.
It wasn't cheap.
It was, it was for you know, $1989.
It was a business model. You know, like,
yeah.
Nintendo made money off that.
Yeah, for sure. To the point where I think one can make an argument that Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, was designed the way it was designed to bolster the Nintendo helpline call.
What happens if you call for, like, I don't know, TMNT, that terrible TMNT game, or a Battletoads that is, like, next to impossible? Like, what is their advice in those scenarios?
Yeah, how do I get through this tunnel in Battletoads where the walls come in? It's like, what do you... there's nothing. Do you want me to come to your house and do it? There's nothing I can tell you. Be better at it.
Speaking of that, did you all see the TMNT news?
No.
The team that made Scott Pilgrim versus the World the game is making a new pixel TMNT game. And it looks very good.
I'm into it.
Very quick, what else are y'all playing?
Loop Hero.
Yeah, it's I don't know that there's a ton to talk about there. It's a roguelike where you move around in a circle and you collect cards that you lay down to change the environment, and you collect resources to upgrade your camp.
Don't be dismissive. I want to talk about it more.
Let's maybe do an episode or something on that, because that game is blowing up, and I think we all have feelings on it.
Okay. I think it's very cool.
I finished There Is No Game Wrong Dimension. I know Griff has started on it, but not finished it. Russ and Plant.
I'm still playing Game Jam, so I want to finish that first.
It's very okay. The first one. Okay, please hurry. I will now decree this. I said it on Twitter. It's true. It is my 2020 game of the year.
Wow.
Whoa.
There Is No Game Wrong Dimension. It is unbelievable. I mean, as you continue to play through it, it is unbelievable. I just want to mention extremely briefly, because I don't know. It was a wild year last year, and did not realize that fucking Frog Fractions 3 had been released.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in DLC on Steam. It's in DLC. Do you not know this, Griffin?
No.
I'm telling you this for the first time. So they released Frog Fractions on Steam, right?
Yeah.
Last summer. But there is an available, DLC for it for $8 called Hop's Iconic Cap DLC. So you can start the game with Hop's Iconic Cap if you pay $8 in this Game of the Year edition. And when you start the game with Hop's Iconic Cap, it starts a completely new Frog Fractions game that is Frog Fractions 3 or 4, depending on how you count. I count the ARG as Frog Fractions
2. And for the people wondering what that is, we're not going to explain it right now because we do not have the time.
Two episodes, but it is. Yeah.
Go Google Frog Fractions, play the original. It's basically just a math counting game where you control a frog and you're grabbing fractions. That's all it is. There's nothing more. Don't go poking around. Okay, those are mine.
Next week, Valheim.
Oh, yeah, we're doing Valheim.
Gotta finally put in the elbow grease to learn what that is. What that is. End of sentence.
It's Minecraft with Vikings. Okay. Easy. We don't even need to do the episode now. Thank you so much for listening. You know all the stuff to do. At Besties Pod, at The Besties Pod, or at The Best? Yeah, at The Besties Pod is us on Twitter. There's a link to our mailing list there. Please rate, review, subscribe, share the link around. Please, Besties Army, as we've always called you.
Apple is changing subscribe to follow because they don't want people to think you have to pay money for it. So you, I guess, follow as well.
If you want to pay us money, though,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be sure to join us again next time for The Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!